Hello there, you're welcome to another interesting edition of Sports Africana, where we bring you the best of sports, particularly from an African perspective. We tend to discuss our issues, our problems, celebrate our success. Above all, build conversation around certain topics, and particularly, very importantly, from an African perspective. My name is Oba Adeola Amokomo. And for the next few minutes or so, we're going to be taking a trip around the world of sports. Today, we'd like to pay tribute to an ex-Nigerian football player in the 80s. He played between 1984 to 1988. And is none other by name Yisa Sofoluwe, popularly known as the Minister of Defense, the Dean of Defense. He was way ahead of his time. And unfortunately, on the 9th of February 2021, he passed on. And we're going to be using this podcast to pay tribute to him, to reflect on his career, and of course, talk about a little bit more about footballers. We've lost quite a number of people in this month. Not some time as well, we lost one of the best coaches by the name Joe Errico, Jogo Bonito. And it's such a sad day for football in general, or more importantly for Nigerian football or African football at large. And to join me in discussing this wonderful person, I've brought him here on this podcast, and it's no other person by Bolaji Douglas, former BCC Lions defender. He won the Nigerian FA Cup on three different occasions, and he'll be joining me to look into the life of Yisa Sofoluwe. As you all know, you can listen on Sport Africana on the various podcasts directly, like Spotify, Listening Notes, Apple Podcast, Podcast Addict, Amazon Music, and many more. All you just need to do is type in Sports Africana and it's going to come up. And please, we really appreciate your comments on our interviews that we bring to you. If you're using Apple Podcast, just click on the purple button and leave your comment, whether good or bad. We like to improve on ourselves, and promise to bring you the best of sports. Welcome, Bolaji Douglas. It's nice to have you again. Nice to have you on Sport Africana. It's always a pleasure to have you to benefit.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure to be here as well.
And as I said earlier on in the introduction, we are here to honor or to pay tribute to a fallen star. He was one of the best defenders, but particularly one of the best right full back defenders. He was very modern in his days, and it's not Yisa Sofoluwe. You played against him, I think once at the 1986 FA Challenge Cup. Tell us your first and foremost what you think when you heard about the news of Yisa Sofoluwe's death.
Like the death of anyone you know, it always hits you like a bad blow. I started following what was going on with him a day or two before his passing away. There was a report on Facebook that he was ill, and a picture of him on his sickbed, and the report was that, okay, he was struggling, he was on oxygen and everything, but you look at him on the sickbed, you could just see just a drip on him. So I was just shocked the next day to hear that he passed away. I think they mentioned the medical condition he had, which I quickly went on the internet to search. Okay, it wasn't something really, really threatening. But to put it in a short way, it was shocking the next day for me to also read again that he had passed on. And it's just tragic in many ways, because at 52 years old, sometimes you just worry these days the rate at which ex former sportsmen just go down like that. But yeah, he was someone who did a lot for Nigerian football as a defender, which I am. He's one of those guys that really inspired you. Now, first and foremost, I want to send my condolences to his family. My prayers go out to them as well. Losing someone like that is always going to be very, very painful and sad. So I just pray that may God comfort them. And I just want to say that their son, their husband, their brother, their father did a lot to bring joy into the life of Nigerians. He left his mark in the football space. So they should be proud that God blessed them with such a person, such a talent. He used his talent to make us happy. And also tonight, to just wish him, may his soul rest in peace.
Right, talking about Mr. Asifolue, I think he caught my eye for the first time. I'll be honest, I didn't particularly know him when he played for the junior team in 83. I got to know him for the first time in 1985 under Coach Chris Odemezue, who I've played for in the junior team as well too. You know, during the 1986 Mexico 86 qualifiers, that's when I first knew Asifolue. But you probably have known him a little bit longer. Can you talk us through his career as far as you know, and what were the qualities that you knew about him that sort of distinguished him? It was said that he was way ahead of his time.
Like you, I will say not much was known of him in the junior team, and that will be because there were bigger stars when he played the junior team. I think the particular set he played with will have the likes of Tarila Okorowanta,
Chibuzov, Ilebu.
Yeah, those were the
Olukos, those were the Akeboton, Tajudisu.
Those were the big names. Those were the big names in that set. I think it was when he moved into the senior national team. Remember, the senior national team around that era they were called the Papa Eagles. That was the low, they were down at that point in time. So most of the eyes was on the junior national team. So it was a time they were rebuilding. And he would be one of those key new players that came in and caught people's eyes. I think what was spectacular about his style of play as a defender, by the way, I think he plays across, he can play any of the back four.
But it was I think it was as a right back mainly
As a right back, but at least from what I heard about his when he was in younger days and the clubs he would have played for earlier, he could also play as a central defender, so hard. So, but yeah, like you said, he made his name as a right fullback. For me, what was good, what I really admired about his style of play is this kind of defender. Defenders come into categories. You have the ones who are rugged,
like yourself.
They just well, like myself, I belong to that school where everything we do, it's about that ruggedness. We go in with power, with force, and everything just to. But he is one of those who come in the other mode. These guys will be more cerebral. They see it before you make that pass. And so it's easy for them to intercept you. They know what you're thinking. It's like they're in your brain. So they tackle you and it looks so easy. They make it look so easy. If you remember, it's small in stature. So, but he was very intelligent. To be called the Dean of Defense, I don't think it was for his overlapping was called the Dean of Defense. It was because he's always there. He's always at the right place at the right time to make that interception. And he makes it so difficult for you to go past him. His defensive ability was up there without shedding his sweat. Without dropping his sweat, he goes through the entire 90 minutes. You see the hard work, and yet at the end of 90 minutes, he comes out looking like somebody who hasn't done anything. And you look across to the other side, the other guy on the plane left by Omokaro, and you see him all bruised up, all dirty, and you wonder, did they play the same match? And that's just a contrast between the two of them. And yeah, he was very good with that. And then, of course, he's very intelligent. He's not just this kind of player that takes the ball as an independent and, oh, my job is done. No, he's also involved himself in the play. And I know he also played as a midfielder sometimes. So I think that gave him that set of skills that enabled him as a defender to do beyond just defending.
What was your experience playing against him? I remember you played for Kwara State Utility Bumpers. They are called Kwara United these days. And you played against him at the semi-finals of the 1986 Challenge Cup. What was your experience like for me? How did you feel like, oh, I'm playing against the best? I mean, Issa Shofolue in the famous Abiola Babes team. What was it like from your end?
Well, I was always feeling intimidated. These are the guys playing in the national team. He was in that team. I think Disu was in that team. Tonya Inla was in that team. Dominic Yoffa was in that team. Raymond King was in goal. So, listen, they had all the stars at the time. So, seeing him, he was one of those, the big stars in the team. Of course, I'm a defender, he's a defender over there. But I wouldn't say I was directly, as a defender, it's a case of, okay, somebody will take care of him. He did his bit. I mean, he did his bit, all right. But it always fills you with a sense of satisfaction knowing that you are able along the line to play against someone like him. So it's a pleasure to be on the same field with him. That's what made this today possible, that I was able to play against him. But to be honest with you, he was one of those defenders that I really, really learned a lot from. I was a hard defender, but I also tried to play the way some of those guys would play. So you know what to get from Shofolue when you see him on the field. You know that you have to be at your very best to get past him. And you know that when he has the ball, he's going to do something intelligent with it as well. So they were expected to beat us. So that they beat us wasn't even so. But yeah, it was a great honor to have at some point in time in this journey of life to have played against him. I cherish that. And that's why I followed him when all this was going on, because he's someone that's part of my own life story going away. So,
and he played for the national team between 84 to 1988. God bless him. Adeboye Onikunde voted the nucleus of that 83 team. Hence why I was able to play, I think it was part of the 1984 African Cup of Nations, which Rikeshito was the captain. Then after a while, it became an integral part of the national team up till 1988. And I think that was Maroc 88, where he owned that right back as his own. And it was successful, but his club career wasn't something to admire. I mean, he played for ITC, then Abiola Babes, then at some point he went to Europe. What do you know, or what can you think of his career?
I think it's not fair to say his club career wasn't that. His club career was with Abiola Babes.
No, I mean, let me put it in context. When you consider some players, I mean, you would expect people like Kane to have reaped the reward of playing in US in 94.
I don't think it had to do much with his club career. Like, it was how things went. I will say he was one of the casualties of the exodus that took place between 88 and 90. Around 1980, when Keshi left Nigeria for Europe, and everybody, he did so well in Belgium, and then I think the under 20 played a match against the Belgian team, that was when Eguavoen and Etimesin were also shocked. That opened a door. It was like a door was opened for Nigerian footballers, and everybody, we call it the Belgium train back then.
The Mecca of football players.
Yeah. You ask of this person, oh, he's gone to Belgium. So everybody was Belgium. So around 88, I think it was between 88 and 88. I think Abiola disbanded in 87. 87, Abiola Braves got disbanded. Now, that was about the time he just went off the radar. I think he probably tried to join the Belgian train. I think he played in Belgium for...
He did play in Belgium.
Yeah, I think he played in Belgium. And, you know, a lot of people went to Belgium and they were not prepared to come back. They were ready to play for anything. Back then, it was becoming a thing whereby just playing outside the country guaranteed you a place in the national team. And a lot of talents were destroyed. He will be one of those. When you think of Osaro or Bobaifo, he went that way as well. And many others who went that way, they just, once they jet out, if it didn't work out, instead of coming back, they would prefer to be roaming you. He played for a third division club, I think, if I can still remember. I still cannot understand why he was not part of the US 94, because up to that point we were still struggling with it. We didn't have any replacement for the right back.
I still think to date we never had that. Even Eguavoen that filled that did well. Let's credit Eguavoen, but come on, Sofolues set a bar.
And it wasn't as if I think what really destroyed him was the incident. That's my opinion on. But I think it was the incident that happened when he went to the UK, and the story was that he went uninvited, hoping he was going to get a club, and it became a big issue, almost like a scandal, and that was it. His name, after the story died down, that was the end of his name with regards to playing for any. I just think the mistake around that time was that when players travel out, if it didn't work out, he could have come back home. I don't know, it's all in the part of history, but I just have a feeling if he was still around, he would have made the US 94 team, and that would have been good for him. That would have raised his much above what he is now, because I strongly feel he should have been part of the 1994 team, especially with the fact that we never had a right back right from when we went for Tunis 94. It was obvious that we were struggling. We tried to use Nduka Agbade there, it didn't work out. Isaac Semitoje, it didn't work out. Eguavoen being an utility player that he was. Everybody slates Eguavoen. I used to explain to people, Eguavoen sacrificed himself to play. Eguavoen naturally was a center back.
And a defensive midfielder.
There was vacancy there and he sacrificed himself. I said, no, don't judge him as a right back. So I still feel Sofolue could still have been around, unless maybe he had an injury, which, coming back to me also, I probably think he was injured around that time as well, but it's all gone fuzzy now. But yeah, he was that good anyway. If he had been fit, if he had had a club, if he had been playing, I would have, he's the kind of player definitely Westerhof would have loved to have in the team.
And obviously he moved into, I later realized that was it. He started suffering as a coach, where he coached not too big clubs and some academies around Nigeria, I wouldn't say his latter part was that filled with, how would I put it? It didn't befit the kind of status you expect of someone of that magnitude, which gives me a bit of concern. I have a lot of burden for ex-footballers, particularly the ones I admire when I was growing up.
Hmm.
You know, the way footballers were, you guys were like, you were idols. So to now see them years later, living virtually, maybe like, I read a post in the WhatsApp group, and this was someone that probably knew him closely, and said, he wrote a post, which I'll just paraphrase, bottom line is the fact that he struggled quite a bit, and he often struggled to meet his rent, but yet so humble and that kind of. How can footballers, and it seems something that I realized with footballers in your, I don't want to say your era particularly, but football players from the 80s into the 90s, whereby they didn't have a kind of succession plan, because you seem to have taken advantage of the platform football offered you to sort of better yourself. Even though I know education played a part in yours, wherever, but you still have that platform to have done something with your life outside of football. Why do you think footballers can take, particularly after their football career?
This is something that I'm very passionate about, to be honest with you, because I remember in those days when I was trying to go into sports or football, it was always drummed into our ears that there's no future for former sports people. And in those days, to be honest with you, most of the clubs were owned by state governments. And when these guys retired, they would go into the sports council as coaches. And I will see a number of them. They were not really doing anything but just being paid salary. Most of them, you could see that frustration. We had a couple of them coming around to coaching us in the university. And you could just see, you could see through that they were just going through the motion. My advice, what I usually tell my colleagues at the time, is try to go back to school. Coaching is not for everybody.
You used to tell them when you were playing.
I will speak when we are together, we're speaking, I'll say, guys, coaching is not for everybody. What used to happen is everybody, they finish their career, this is the world I've always known. And the next thing, what do I do? Some of them, after 5 years of doing nothing, say, let me go to NIS. Go to NIS, become a coach. I've seen many coaches, and I know people who are coaches. I know some who are just being coaches, because that's the only thing they feel is the only option that is left, which is not true. But that is the world of many footballers. Finish playing, what do I do? I didn't go to school. Oh, NIS, bang, 3 months NIS, get the coaching. And then it also coincided at the time when many clubs were disbanding. Not many new clubs were being formed. So you're having all these coaches being spawned out from NIS. And you have so few number of clubs. I mean, we're talking of a time in Nigerian football when we have 3 divisions. Today, we barely have 2. We're talking at a time when Lagos alone had a Lafa League of 4 divisions. That's Lagos State alone. And all these places, they had clubs. Now you have, Lagos doesn't have Lafa anymore. So you have all these coaches. What are they coaching? You have some of my colleagues coaching at academies. Sometimes I just ask myself, how do they survive, knowing how hard things are in the country? And so, I've seen some people, and you just know, you shouldn't have gone into coaching. You could have done something else. So, someone like Otobo, he's also called Otobo because of his fair complexion, that's Yusuf Shofolue. Someone like him will be very quiet. For his fame and everything, when you see him, he's a very humble guy. I think it has to do with his background. He has no ears about it. And you know, the Nigeria you and I come from, if you are like that, they just forget you. If you don't know how to blow your trumpet, you just go into the background. It doesn't matter what you have done. And I think he will have fallen into that category here. Yeah, he became a coach, but he has no not the kind of person who makes noise, who puts himself about. Where are you going to get that kind of job that will sustain you? Most of the ex-internationals, there's a reason why they hang around getting jobs with the national team, because they feel that's the only place they can coach. But then it's only the ones who are high profile. As soon as the US, as soon as you have this category who ply their trade abroad, now you now have two classes of former football players who are coaches, the ones who played abroad and the ones who did it. And the ones who played abroad, by virtue of exposure, they are the ones being sought after. So the politics of getting jobs, if you don't play it, nobody's gonna come to your house and say, come and get. No, it's not, it doesn't happen that way. So I think he will be one of those casualties of paying the price for not, because his personality is not the type that can hustle around for to get job. It's always sad because you want people to be able to, football gave us a platform. For me, that's how I saw it. It gave me a platform, but I have to make the best of that platform. If I don't make it, it will be wasted. And I think that's what players need to begin to understand, that they need to equip themselves also to be able to make the best of that platform that is being offered, be it fame, be it the opportunity to interact with people at a certain level. This thing is fleeting. 1 minute you are dining with kings, the next minute you are nobody.
We're about to sort of round up now, but before we do that, I would like you to, in practical terms, what you did in your own case. Again, I'm conscious of the fact that maybe education had a bit to play in your own case, whereby you started making your association. So practically, what were the things that you did because in your case, your successful years was really with BCC Lions of Moko that got you an invitation into the national team. What were the things that you started planning in your own case, which some of your mates probably did not?
First and foremost, I just have to thank God, because at the end of the day, man, we do all the work. At the end of the day, it's God who blesses whatever a man does. But the reality is, I played football. Most of my colleagues who played football, because that was the only thing that opened to them, I played football because I wanted to. My education was already going on. I didn't see myself playing football. By the time I got up there, I realized I didn't want to go into coaching. Not because I wouldn't make it as a good coach, but I realized the environment. I saw how coaches were being treated, and I didn't agree with that. And I didn't want to be. I would never have been able to work with the way clubs were being run. I would have been one of those coaches always fighting with the management. So I told myself, no, coaching was not for me. Even when BCC offered to send me for a coaching course, I penned in my letter of resignation. I said I wanted to discover other things. Coupled with the fact that football took so much out of me in terms of, I'm a private person. I would have been someone like Shofolue. I'm not sure I've got out for the politics of backbiting to get a job. No, I'm not sure I could do that. So from the word go, I knew coaching was not for me. And so when they offered me wanted to send me to NIS, I just told the club manager, if that's all you have on offer for me, I have to leave. So I bent down, I sent him my resignation letter. I just left. I traveled out. I said I was just going to discover what I wanted to do next. Took me 2 years to find what I wanted to do. Currently, I'm a software engineer at the moment. Of course, the university education gave me a broader vision to life. I realized that was what helped me not to think that everything ends with going into NIS. Most of my colleagues or players don't have that broader vision. they are reared in the system. From an early age, you are taken through that system. Spend 13, 15 years, and all of a sudden, at 33 years old, an adult, and you are in a man's world, and you have not been trained for anything other than football. So the next thing, by default, you begin to say, oh, I have to go into coaching. I think being in the university of my education allowed me to see beyond that. I didn't see my life as being limited to a coaching career. And I said to myself, listen, I've given 12 years of my life to football. I want to do something else. So I gave out everything, my kids and everything, and I just walked away completely. Mm. I left everything behind.
Wow. And as we close, what match do you remember about Social Follower that you would always remember, either as a club player or when you played for the national team, like to remember him for?
I think my most memorable remembrance of Sofoluwe will be in the colors of the national team. I cannot pick any particular match. Listen, when this guy shows up, if it's possible to name him man of the match in every match he has played for the Super Eagles, he will win it. There's a reason he was called Minister of Defense or Dean of Defense. When Okonkwo, late Charles, Ernest Okonkwo, wasn't satisfied with calling him Dean, he promoted him to Minister. You know what I mean. He's just somebody, it's a joy to watch. I wouldn't say one particular match, I would just say, listen, I know that when he puts on the national team colors, he's a delight to watch. In all the matches he turned up, he will have been the man of the match.
There you have it. As we round up our wonderful tribute to late Yusuf Sashipunwe, popularly known as Dean of Defence, and of course, as has been highlighted, was promoted to Minister of Defence by legendary Nigerian commentator late Ernest Okonkwo. Thank you very much, Olaji, for obliging us at the very shortest notice to pay tribute to this wonderful person. And there you have it. Until we come your way again on Sport Africana, please remember to subscribe to our podcast on all the numerous platforms. And if you're an Apple user, please press the up button. Leave your comment, and we appreciate it. And of course, you can check us out on our social media platforms on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's Sport Africana. Leave your comment, and we'll be glad to respond to you. Have a wonderful day and stay blessed.